Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Welcome back to another episode. I am really excited about this one. I've got a new guest on with me, Crystal Christian.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. It's so exciting to be here.
Yeah. I've been really looking forward to this conversation.
Me too.
So I'm sure you know the context of what we've been talking about ultimately is, you know, beloved identity and just the discovery of who God is, who he says we are, you know, what... who we are as a result of everything that happened at Calvary. And we've been talking about that in also in the context of hearing God's voice.
Yeah.
And why it's just like unbelievably necessary, so imperative that we develop a lifestyle of hearing God's voice. Because apart from, you know, the leading of his voice, we run the risk of never really discovering the truth.
Yeah.
You know, truth about who he really is. What is he really like? Who does he really say we are?
Yeah, it's so incredibly imperative that we understand the heartbeat of heaven and accurately hear the voice of God and how he wants to speak to us so we can walk out our destinies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the topic for today, more specifically, we're going to be talking about the prophetic. And so I thought, who better to have on this episode than our very own prophet of the house? Prophet, prophetess?
Prophetess.
What do you prefer?
It's so weird because I would prefer neither. But let's go with prophetess because it gives me a little bit more feminine spin, right?
Okay, yeah. Prophetess. Yeah. Sure, of the house. Okay. Yeah. And so, I want to talk about, we're going to keep the conversation around the importance of hearing God's voice, but we're going to kind of lean into the prophetic side of things.
Great.
Because I think, you know, I think for me personally, for every individual person, hearing God's voice is necessary to discover who they are.
Yeah.
But the thing is that not everybody either knows that they have access to the Father and his heart and his voice, or they know they have access, but they don't really know how to access it.
Absolutely.
And which is why I think the prophetic is such a beautiful thing.
Me too.
Such a beautiful gift.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
You know, because you may not know what the Father thinks about you, but if I've learned how to tap into his voice, I can actually share his thoughts about you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And begin to break barriers and lies down that we'd come into partnership that someone else may not know how to break those down. But when you begin to speak the truth of heaven and the truth from the Father, they just radically transform things. Like it's the most exciting thing as far as I'm concerned. I know I'm very biased on this. on this topic, but it's just the most exciting thing I feel like in the kingdom of God is being able to hear his voice and communicate it to his sons and his daughters and be able to speak his truth into their heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At what point did you start kind of discovering, like, what was the discovery for you of the prophetic like?
Oh my gosh. So let's back up all the way to like when I grew up in a Methodist and Presbyterian household.
Okay.
And then I went to a Church of Christ school.
Okay.
So three different denominations there. And at no point in time do I recall ever remembering that I had access to the voice of God.
Yeah.
That was just never a thing that was spoken about or that I ever remember receiving. So if it was taught to me, I don't remember it being taught to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know my testimony, I ended up battling over 10 years of drugs and addiction, which the Lord radically delivered me from.
Wow.
And when he radically delivered me from that, he actually spoke to me. And so this was such a new concept. I had no idea I was able to hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
Yet the Lord didn't care what I knew. You know,
wow.
He still spoke to me anyway.
Whoa.
And so he spoke to me when I was probably in my darkest, lowest point, and said, get up and go back and get your family back. And anything, you know, any rational thought would have told you that's absolutely impossible. But for whatever reason, you know, you just do it.
Yeah.
And so a little bit later down the road, I realized that, oh, that was the voice of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord was so kind to me to lay out destinies for me, without me even having to search for them. So I ended up at a church and I had a mentor, that said, you know, we were actually praying over someone in the sanctuary together. And she looked over at me after we got done and she said, I think you're actually highly prophetic. And I looked at her and I said, what does that word even mean? and she's like, let's get you connected with the right people. And so it's, you know, my story of hearing the voice of God in itself is such a God story because it could only be orchestrated by God himself.
Wow.
To be able to speak to me while I'm still in active addiction, pull me back into the kingdom of heaven, and then just make up for everything that was lost. It was almost like following the yellow brick road back to the kingdom of heaven, right into his gates.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. That is wild.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had this thought because, you know, you mentioned that when he spoke to you about basically, hey, let's go. Let's get your family back together.
Yeah.
Let's start to put things back in order. And you kind of said, you know, it may logically or rationally, it would have seemed like, well, this isn't something that's going to happen.
Absolutely, you know? Not. Anybody that I told that to,
yeah,
that was like, oh, I'm going to get my life straight and I'm going to go back and get my children. They kind of looked at me and laughed like, yeah, right.
Wow.
You can't do that.
Wow.
But you know, alongside what I didn't share along with hearing his voice, is he gave a huge pull of my heart back to him also.
Right.
And I ended up giving my life back to the Lord on TBN Network. watching, you know, it's just the most, yeah. He uses every single thing,
wow.
You know, everything that we kind of discount, he uses.
Yeah.
And so I remember just watching, that's kind of the only avenue I had for the Lord at the time. I had a Bible. It was actually a Bible for beginners. And then the TBN Network, and I ended up giving my life to the Lord on there. But I also submerged myself in the Word.
Yeah.
So along with hearing his voice, I was able to accurately recognize that was his voice because I was submerging myself in the Gospels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And I don't know if this is something we've talked about particularly on this podcast, but but just how important it is if you're going to develop a lifestyle of hearing God's voice, the importance of living, you know, in scripture as well.
Yes.
Because if I don't know what the Bible says, I might think he's, you know, directing me or leading me to do something. But if I'm disconnected from, you know, his heart and his character as revealed in scripture, I don't really know how I could know whether I'm really hearing him.
Yeah, you have no boundaries really for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like aimlessly shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
You can still hear his voice, but it makes it very difficult to recognize the voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had people tell me, I won't get specific, but I've had people in the past tell me like that the Lord told them to do something and just knowing full well there's no way that is, you know, I've had people tell me that, you know, the Lord told me to do this, and it's very, very counter to like scripture, very specifically, you know, and if you don't know the scripture, you know, you don't really know what the Bible says, then I think you're right, you're kind of removing the boundaries of, you know, the parameters of which he would speak and he would lead you and he would direct you, because he's not going to directly oppose his own, you know, his own written word.
Absolutely not. That's what's so important,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. But what I was saying earlier, so one of the things, and I think, you know, if we were to talk about ask the question, what is the purpose of prophetic ministry?
Mm-hmm.
I think we could answer that a few ways. I think most simply, we could look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, where he says that prophetic ministry is for the strengthening, the encouraging, and the comforting of the body.
Yes.
And, you know, I think about your story and how the Lord spoke to you. And I would consider that, you know, the Lord prophesying over you.
Absolutely.
You know, and so what he did was, what his words did is they created and put strength and courage into you,
mm-hmm.
to get up and do what nobody else thought you could do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's such a, and I think that would be true of my life in certain ways that, you know, the people have spoken things over me prophetically that I think, I don't really know, like, what? Like, I don't even know what you're talking about, yeah. how that could ever happen. I don't even, you know, don't really have a grid for what you're saying.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden you'll find, you know, to encourage somebody is to literally put courage into them.
Yes.
And so what the Lord does is when he speaks to us, whether it's through his Holy Spirit or through, you know, people giving a prophetic word, that there is this aspect where you find strength and courage to do something that you wouldn't normally have had the strength and courage to do.
Yeah. Supernaturally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. I don't want to assume that anybody listening would know the answer to this question. And so I introduced you as the prophetess of our house. Let's go ahead and talk about what does that mean?
Exactly. Oh gosh, that's such a loaded question.
Yeah.
So to fully understand like what a prophetess is, you also have to know what the gift of prophecy within itself is.
Okay.
So the gift of prophecy is the gift itself. So when you are ministering out of the gift of prophecy, that is actually the gifting within itself. And then when you look at a prophet or a prophetess, the call and the office of, that is actually the gift to the church. So instead of the ministering and prophecy being the gift, the prophet himself or herself is the gift to the church. And so the prophet carries a different authority and anointing than just the gifting of prophecy. Mm-hmm. And that authority and anointing has the ability to correct and direct. So they are kind of like the eyes and the ears of the church to kind of see what's coming ahead to make sure that we stay in alignment with what the Lord's doing.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're kind of venturing a little bit, which I knew we'd go here eventually,
yeah.
into Ephesians 4.
Okay, yeah.
Which is such a fun passage for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead. This is verses 11 through 13 I've got in the Passion Translation
yeah.
that I actually wanted to read.
Okay.
And so it says this, and he has appointed some with grace to be apostles and some to be and some with grace to be prophets and some with grace to be evangelists and some with grace to be pastors or shepherds and some with grace to be teachers. And so I'll stop there real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what we're getting into, if any of our listeners wouldn't know this, we're getting into what we call fivefold ministry.
Yes.
These are the five, and you're right that these are gifts. These people are actually gifts that Jesus gave to the church.
Yes.
And so if we keep reading, it says, and their calling is to nurture and prepare or to equip all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. And now I'm going to stop again because I didn't know that. So I grew up in a Presbyterian church.
Mm-hmm.
And so similar to you, I didn't know. I'd never really heard the word prophecy or prophetic or,
yeah.
you know, I didn't really know much about the Holy Spirit. And so I didn't, you know, I probably would have, you know, left somebody out of the room if they had called themselves a prophet or an apostle, because
yeah.
those weren't terms I'd ever really heard,
uh-huh.
except for, you know, I knew Paul was an apostle and that was about it. You
right.
know, I could tell you maybe something about the Old Testament prophets. I find that, you know, there are a lot of churches, especially in the West, who I think are not yet recognizing the existence still of prophets and apostles.
Yeah.
Among fivefold.
Yeah.
And I want to keep reading these verses because this is, I love, especially in the way the Passion Translation puts it. Brian Simmons is just
amazing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But it says this. It says that these grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ.
Wow.
I read that and I think, Boy, I don't think we're there yet.
No.
As a body.
But we obviously need this government in place to get there.
And that is actually one of the things that Dr. Simmons has in his footnotes. And I thought this was so good. He says that some of the words that Paul uses in describing that. And so I'll read some of those things again. And these are, you know, if I were to make, you know, if I was making pasta and I was reading the directions on the noodles and it would say, boil the noodles until, you know, probably until soft or however it would put it, you know.
Right.
And so there's a point where I know that the noodles need to be where they are. And there's something that will happen that will signify that they no longer need to be in, you know, in the place that they're in the boiling water or whatever.
Right.
And so to me, that reads to me, this verse reads to me the same way, that we know that these fivefold ministers, these, you know, grace gifts that Jesus himself gave to the body, that they're going to be in place until, as it says here, until we all attain oneness into faith. I don't think we've done that yet.
No, not quite there yet.
Until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. I don't think we're there yet.
No. And that's actually, you know, if you asked me earlier, what do I consider my call as a prophet to be? So
yeah.
Personally, I have a calling and a passion to train up and equip the body of Christ to hear the voice of the Lord in such a way where they no longer need me. So my desire is actually not to be needed.
You want to work yourself out of a job?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. So that's my goal as the prophet of Be Love Company is to train people to harness the voice of God in such a way where there's absolutely no need for a prophet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah.
That's really good. and you know, the last thing it says in this verse, or the last two things, it says, and finally, until we become one into a perfect man. And I think there's a footnote that he has written that perfect man means, you know, the body, until we become one as a perfect body of Christ.
Yeah.
And with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity, I don't think we're there yet.
No.
And until we have fully developed into the abundance of Christ, I don't think we even know what that means.
No.
I think not only have we not achieved these yet or attained these yet as the body, I don't think we've actually maybe allowed ourselves to explore the depths of what this really could mean for us.
I could not agree with that statement more. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Which in a sense is exciting to me.
Yeah, because there's so much more out there available.
Because,
you know, new wineskin after new wineskin after new wineskin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how many good things have we already experienced with the Lord in our lives? How many cool things have we already seen?
Yeah.
And just to know that I think we're just scratching the surface.
Yes. How much more there is out there available for us.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Like yeah.
It kind of makes you want to get up and run around, right?
Right. Very, very exciting. But, you know, I remember the first time I came across these verses and really started kind of studying them and thinking about them and realizing, there's just no way we don't have apostles and prophets still. There's just no way we don't have them.
Yeah.
Like, they have to still be around.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
But another thing Dr. Simmons says, which I love, and this is going back to what you said, he says that not only will we have them in effect until we reach, you know, perfect unity, perfection, maturity, abundance. Not only are they in effect until that point, but without them, we won't get there.
Yes. They're needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
so necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I have several questions I want to ask you, and I don't know what direction I want to go. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
I know. Do you have any like fun stories just about prophetic ministries, whether it's people you've prophesied over, prophetic words you've received?
Oh my gosh, I have millions of them. My most exciting stories are actually watching kids develop their ability to hear the voice of the Lord.
Wow.
So of course I have two children. I have a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. And it has been my retirement investment as a mother. To make sure that they know they have the ability to hear the voice of the Lord.
Wow.
And so beyond having the calling of a prophet, my first calling is being a mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't take that calling lightly either.
Sure.
And so it has been my mission since day one, since the Lord has restored everything back to me, to make sure that I foster and steward my children well with hearing the voice of the Lord. And so recently, I want to say about 4 months ago, I was actually able to take my son out and do evangelistic ministry. In the inner city with Be Love Company.
Yeah.
And as we went out, I have realized it's of Gage's age now that he's getting around 13 to kind of keep him by my side and show him how to do ministry.
Wow.
Because they're gonna do as they see, right? Just like we do what the father sees, you know, we do as he does, right? And so as I brought him out with me, I began to prophesy over people. And as I began to prophesy over people, he was seeing the same images in his mind from the Lord as I was seeing, as I was describing what I was seeing. And so he had this moment where he kind of freaked out and he was like, oh my gosh, I saw the exact same image that you saw. And so just to have that excitement to see like, oh my gosh, he's getting it. And I just looked at him and I said, we're hearing from the same God.
Yeah.
You know, how exciting is that?
Whoa.
And then another one here recently, it was the last part of the prophetic class I was teaching on Saturdays. And one of the students in the class actually brought one of their children with them, just kind of hang out in the background. And as we were doing activations at the end, he actually began to hear the voice of the Lord for the first time.
Wow.
And I didn't know this in the class. She actually messaged me a week later. And she was like, hey, I just want to let you know, as we were doing activations, my son actually heard the voice of the Lord for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
And so like, I have moments like this where it's like, if I don't have any other moments, this has done it.
Yeah.
You know, like children being able to hear the voice of the Lord, this is what it's about. I love getting to teach adults too.
Yeah.
But there's something so exciting and so special about getting to know that children are already tapping into this, because mm-hmm. greater things shall ye do.
Yeah.
You know, like that's my constant prayer for my kids. I only want to scratch the surface, and I want them to go above and beyond more than I could ever think or imagine, because I know that's available for them.
Yeah.
And so if I give them this really great platform to jump off of, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You know?
Whoa.
Yeah.
And what a cool thing. Well, what a really special thing for your kids to have the gift of a mom who wants to instill this in them young, you know?
Well, thank
because,
you.
Yeah, and like you, like I had to figure this out when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And being a dad to young kids, there's something so wild to me about seeing, I guess I would call it like the innateness that young kids have to tap into.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes. So much quicker than I ever
quicker.
Thought about, right?
Yep. I mean, Nora was doing prophetic things before we could have even explained to her what that meant.
Wow.
You know, she was the one that told Katie that she was pregnant with Izzy before we knew.
And that is amazing.
Yeah. And there, we've got all kinds of stories of just when she was, 2 and 3 years old, we weren't really having conversations about what prophetic is.
Yeah.
But it turns out that kids just have a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess maybe they're not so bogged down with religion.
Yes, they hear without hindrance.
Yeah.
You know, like we tend to get a little bit jaded or a little bit skeptical about mm-hmm. the things that we're hearing.
Yeah.
Or they just believe without measure.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, I learned so much from watching their tenacity to hear the voice of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think about, this is something Katie was kind of talking to me about probably a year or two ago, but and the Lord started talking to her about the difference between what it means to be childish and what it means to be childlike. And as we kind of grow up in, spiritually, and we become more spiritually mature, I think there are childish things we're meant to move on from, but I think there are childlike things we're meant to hang on to forever.
Yeah.
And just watching kids, like your kids and my kids, tap into, the supernatural or just the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
To know that they're so willing to just, go for it and to just believe that, what they're hearing, what they're seeing,
yeah.
is him.
With their whole heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's so fun. Wow. Let me ask you this, and I think we've already covered a little bit of this, especially with you know, talking about Ephesians 4, and we talked about fivefold ministry and why, you know, why biblically we think that people like you exist.
I hope I do.
But what would you say if, you know, if we were having a conversation and I was questioning whether or not, you know, the gifts are still in effect today, you know, like, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, because that was my upbringing.
Yeah.
Is, you know, well, we have the Bible, so we don't really need the Holy Spirit to talk to us because he already spoke. And so, you know, we have his word and that's kind of all we need to go on.
So my quickest and easiest answer, but we'll expound a little bit more, would be the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus was sacrificed for us and then he resurrected, he let us know, and I believe it was Acts 1:8, he said, "But you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you." He also let us know several other things. He said, "Greater things shall ye do." And I know that Jesus functioned in the gifts of the Spirit. It's evident within his life. All you have to do is read the Gospels. You don't even have to have too much understanding for the gifts. You just have to know, oh yeah, he functioned in every single one of those.
Yeah.
And so if he told me that he was going to give me a gift that was going to allow me to have the power that he holds, and then he told me that greater things shall ye do, hands down, that's all I kind of really need to know. Because I know that the Holy Spirit lives in me. And so for someone that's skeptical about that, just letting them know that actually when he died for you, it wasn't just for your salvation. It was actually so you could live heaven on earth right now.
Yeah.
And do you know how you're going to live heaven on earth right now? It's through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is going to give you really great gifts.
Yeah.
All you have to do is desire and want them. It says to desire and lust after the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are not a bad thing to want. Of course, your relationship with Jesus should trump every single thing, always.
Yeah.
But if you have that in order, lust after the gifts and tap into them, because that is the only way that you're going to bring heaven to earth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So is it First Corinthians, is it right at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14, I think, where Paul says that? He says, pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially
the gift of prophecy.
Prophecy, especially. He's like, they're all great, but boy, is this one going to do good things for the body.
Absolutely.
You know? And I remember hearing this a while ago and thinking that this really struck me profoundly. That, you know, Paul says to pursue love and to desire the gifts. I wonder how often that ends up, especially in, you know, Pentecostal or charismatic circles, how often that gets switched to where rather than pursuing love and desiring the gifts, we end up pursuing the gifts and desiring love.
Oh, I think it's so easy because I've actually done it myself.
Sure.
Just to be fully transparent, like it is easy to make that switch. But you can tangibly feel the switch when it happens. So when I came to the Lord, or the Lord called me back to him, let's say, you know, it was all about him. And then this new gift became evident on the scene. And so it was like, oh, wow, this brand new bright, shiny thing. And I, for a moment, took my attention off of the giver of the gift to the gift.
Yeah.
And the gift didn't feel as beautiful without him in it.
Yeah.
And then there was always this kind of pit kind of feeling in my stomach of like something's missing. And so when I came back to the Lord and said, I don't know what's going on here, but something doesn't feel right. And it was real quick for him to say, you've switched your attention off of me into the gifts.
Yeah.
I'm ready to restore that for you. And he's so kind to do it.
Wow.
You know, we have a grace to make mistakes. We have a grace to mess up. Yep. God already took all of those things into account when he created the gifts.
Yeah.
And even sent his son to die on the cross. He already put all of these things in action.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you out there that are kind of like, oh, I don't want to do this because I'm so afraid that I'm going to mess it up. Oh, we are going to mess it up. We're going to mess it up, and that's okay. The most important thing is to stop, draw your attention back to him and say, oh, you're still there. My eyes are still on you. I'm still seeking after your presence, and you're the only thing that makes everything else okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. And I think that's an easy mistake to make. And I don't know if you would agree with this. I think that was more true for me in the beginning stages of discovering Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, because I think there was, at least for me, such a fascination with all of that.
Oh my gosh, it was so exciting.
So fascinating, which it still is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think it's easy to get those priorities flipped.
Absolutely.
Especially early on when it's like, oh my gosh, like I've got all these crazy gifts and I can start doing supernatural things and I can start praying for the sick and like, yeah, we can do all that, it turns out. But then, you know, chapters in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12 and 14 are all about the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And then right in between them, he makes sure he's got a whole chapter dedicated to love.
To love, yeah.
Because that, at the end of the day, is the whole purpose of all of it.
Absolutely. And without that, he says it, you know, without love, it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, and you can feel it. Without love, you will feel nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't. Without, you know, and I'm reminded too, it's Romans, I'm going to say 12. That might be wrong. But there's a verse where Paul says that the gifts and callings of the Lord are irrevocable.
Yeah.
You familiar?
Yeah.
The gifts and callings are irrevocable. And so what that tells me is that the gifts of the Spirit, and not only that, but just other giftings and abilities and talents, there are things that the Lord places in each person. You know, I think before they're even born.
Absolutely.
You know, they're set in stone. And he's not going to revoke those gifts or those callings based on our performance or our anything. You know?
We're not going to lose it.
Yeah.
Right?
Gifts aren't, you know, it's not like a use it or lose it type thing. It's not a, you've got to get it perfect. We just have them.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, that's been a fascinating thing to think about because I think a lot of times we can equate spiritual maturity to giftedness.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I know I've done that a lot of times.
I have too, yeah. Let that be my earmarker for like, oh, this person must be super spiritual.
Yeah.
Or I should be able to really trust what this person is saying because they give such accurate prophetic words I shouldn't even have to ask the Lord because this is just evident. Mm-hmm. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
To where, you know, like, and we're even given direction in the Bible. Every word, now that we're in the New Testament covenant, every word from a prophet is up to being weighed.
Yeah.
And so if you eliminate the relationship with the Lord and you stop weighing those words, you're doing your due diligence of responsibility.
Yeah.
So now that I carry the same Holy Spirit that Brian carries, when you give a prophetic word, it is now up to both you and me to weigh that prophetic word and see if it aligns with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, just get it out the way.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But it's not that earmarker for, oh, this person is anointed and called and the one, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think I had to learn that the hard way too. And because I've done that. I've assumed that if a person is gifted, they must be really spiritually mature and they must be really close to the Lord. And actually it turns out that, you know, I think success in ministry isn't about how gifted you are. I think it's about how well you love.
Yes. That's the earmark.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to look at what is the fruit of the gifts that we've been given, because I can prophesy. You can prophesy all day long. It can be, you know, I think it can be accurate. It could be not accurate. We could prophesy. We could do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not rooted in love, we can still prophesy. It just won't be expanding and building the kingdom of heaven.
Absolutely. That's very
well
put.
As it was intended to.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you said something interesting just a second ago, that, you know, in the New Testament now, as people who are in the new covenant, prophetic words are meant to be weighed.
Yes.
And that is like such a major distinction between New Testament prophecy and Old Testament prophecy.
Yeah. And it's okay to weigh it.
Yeah.
That's actually what we're commanded to do.
We are.
Right? Yeah.
But in the Old Testament, if a prophet misspoke.
Oh, geez. We don't even want to go there.
No.
Yeah, they were punishable to death.
Yeah. Yeah. If a prophet misspoke, you know, their job was to, first of all, prophets in the Old Testament were like just about the sole mouthpieces of God.
Yes.
Not everybody had access to, you know, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because it was more visitation.
Mm-hmm.
in the Old Testament. So the Holy Spirit would come upon prophets, kings, priests, you know, very, very few judges, but very few select people.
Yes.
Would actually experience the visitation of the Holy
Spirit.
Keyword
there is select, right?
Right.
Just a select group.
Yep. And so in the Old Testament, you know, prophets were the mouthpieces of God. And if they misspoke, that was kind of it for them.
Yeah.
You know, it was punishable by death. They'd be stoned.
Yeah.
And now in the New Testament, all the rules have changed.
Oh my gosh. Love has entered the scene. You know,
right.
we now get to experience prophecy, but love attached to prophecy.
Yeah.
And so one way I like to think about Old Testament versus New Testament prophecy is Old Testament prophecy, prophets received the word of the Lord. New Testament prophecy, we only perceive the word of the Lord. Because now that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, it is our perception of what we are hearing from the Lord. And it's how well trained we are to the voice of God to know if we're accurately hearing it right. Does that make sense?
That is interesting. I'd never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. And that reminds me of, I think it's Job 33:14. I know I'm going back to the Old Testament.
I'm like, do you have a Bible in your brain? Because you just really remember all of these verses so well. I have to have all mine on my notes.
I think, I'm pretty sure it's Job 33:14, where he says, for God does speak now one way, now another,
yeah,
though no one perceives it.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going back to Old Testament when I'm quoting that. And we're talking more in a New Testament context. But I think you're right in that. I think the Lord is always speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have access, unlimited access,
absolutely,
to his voice and his thoughts. And I think it's just a matter of, are we listening and are we perceiving?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And are we so familiar with the heartbeat of heaven that we can accurately recognize it?
Yeah.
Because we're going to hear other voices too. They come, but once you know the Father's voice, those other ones kind of get drowned out in the background because those don't matter. You recognize that, oh, this is the loudest voice that I actually want to pay attention to because it actually changes my life.
Yeah.
The other one actually ruins my life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me hold on to this one and get rid of the other one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This was years ago. There was a time, you know Mateo.
Yeah.
Not everybody listening, unfortunately, knows Mateo, but he worked here and he's been kind of around this company of people for a couple of years. He's since moved on to Nashville, but there was a time where he and I were together and I didn't have my phone with me and Katie was trying to get in touch with me. She knew that Mateo and I were together. She was calling my phone. I just didn't have it. And so, you know, she wasn't reaching me. So she thought, well, I'll call Mateo. Mateo's phone rings. He sees it's Katie. He doesn't answer. He just hands me the phone, assuming that it's going to be for me. And so I answer Mateo's phone. I say, hello. And she just continues talking as if she was like, she didn't even skip a beat. There wasn't even a second of like, wait, who is this? This doesn't sound like Mateo. Is this Brian? You know?
Yeah.
It was just such, I mean, it was like the smoothest transition. I pick up Mateo's phone and she's instantly like, hey, here's what I'm thinking. Or here, do you know, whatever question she had.
Yeah.
And I remember looking back at that and thinking, I think that is what we're meant to have with the Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah.
To where we're meant to be so familiar with his voice that we don't have to have like a certain context or a certain place or a certain, you know, I think we should be so familiar with his voice.
Yes.
That at any given second.
We don't have to have a contingency plan based on what we're hearing. Like, Lord, if this is you, then someone in a purple shirt is going to come up and turn a cartwheel in front of me. And that way I'll know, you know, or that we have to lay numerous fleece out for them to be fulfilled, to know it's the voice of God, that you just know because you know that that's his voice.
Yeah. Because you've spent so much time with him.
Yeah.
And you've become so accustomed to not just his voice, but his heart and his character.
That's the biggest thing. His heart.
Yeah.
Like truly knowing his heart.
Yeah.
That's been the most life-changing thing for me as far as prophetic ministry goes.
Yeah.
When I partner with the heart of God and speak into people's lives, that's the most life-change. I could foretell things to come all the time. That's not as life-changing as it is to speak the truth of how the Lord feels about you, Brian.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what it's like for you. Can you talk me through a little bit of your process when you were prophesying over somebody?
Okay.
Or even leading up to that?
So to let you know what it looks like for me to prophesy over somebody, I also need to let you know what it looks like for the Lord to speak specifically to me versus speaking to someone else.
Right.
So when he's speaking specifically to me, it's usually a still, small voice, mm-hmm. almost like a gentle wind. When I hear the voice of the Lord for other people, it is a loud, booming voice that almost feels like an earthquake.
Whoa.
To where if when it enters my mind, let's say I'm in worship because the Lord gives me a lot of words while I'm in worship.
Uh-huh.
But I love to worship so much. I will often be yeah. like, okay, in a minute kind of feeling. But the Lord will come with kind of a vengeance and be like, no, right now. So it will be this, I almost can liken it to, do you know the feeling that you get if you ever feel offended? It's almost that like that, that rise in your chest or that rise in your gut of like, ugh. Uh-huh. Well, it's almost the opposite feeling of that.
Oh, wow.
So it's, that's the best way I can liken it or articulate it quite well.
Hmm.
So it'll be kind of like a rising up in your spirit. So that'll be the first thing that I notice. The next thing, it'll almost be so loud and so clear. I then will tune in to the frequency of heaven. So I have the ability to kind of, I can have a conversation with you right now, but I could also just stop and pause and turn my frequency into the voice of God and listen to him for you. So it's almost like changing a radio station for me. So wow. I stop and I pause and I kind of check out into the earth from the earthly realm and into the kingdom of heaven.
Wow.
And I'm trying to do better at living in both realms. But for me right now in my process,
sure.
I'm still having to have this conversation with you.
Yep.
And then I have to check out and then listen to him.
Yeah.
But as far as getting a prophetic word from someone, it will be very much of a rising up in my belly and a very loud assurance. And then I kind of dialogue with the Lord after that. So I'm able to hear the voice of the Lord in several different ways. I can feel the Lord. So I can feel the emotions of people in their room, or I can feel the emotions of the Lord for the people in the room. And so the gift of being a feeler has been a little bit more difficult for me to navigate because I've had to distinguish that those aren't my feelings. Those are people in the rooms are the Lord's feelings, which
wow.
have provoked me to do a lot more dialoguing with the Lord to figure out what exactly is going on.
Sure.
Which is the ultimate goal of everything is to turn our face to him.
Yeah.
Right. So that is one way, is feeling. Another way that I've discussed is hearing. But one of the primary ways that I hear from the Lord is I actually see from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so the best way for me to kind of communicate or tell you about this is I can see visions in my imagination space. And I almost want to liken it to, you know, if you are asleep and you have a dream, you're dreaming. Well, I can be here with you, but I can be kind of dreaming in my imagination space with the Lord. And that's how the Lord can speak to me.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times they will be visions that I just instantaneously with the Lord get the interpretation for. This has been one of those things with maturity has kind of grown with time. And so the more visions that the Lord gives me, I can a little bit easier kind of pick them apart and translate them a little bit better. I want to say at the very beginning when I started doing this, I was probably kind of like a loose cannon.
Sure.
You know, just kind of describing what I was seeing and then see people's jaws drop to the ground because
yeah.
they were like, what in the world is going on with you? And then I was like, what is going on with me? but now the Lord has led me in such a way where I can communicate that a little bit better to where it doesn't freak people out as much to
sure.
describe to them what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And then a fourth way that I hear from the Lord is I just know things, which would be a knower. So I've described a feeler, a seer, a hearer, and a knower, and I actually function in every single one.
Okay.
And knowing isn't typically at the top of my list. It's one I'm trying to develop a little bit more.
Sure.
But that's kind of like words of knowledge,
that the
Lord would just kind of maybe reveal to me about you, something that was very important to you in childhood that kind of gets people's attention.
Yeah.
Most of the time when the Lord has used word of knowledge for me, it's been for an unbeliever.
Sure. Okay.
To kind of say like, hey, listen up.
Yeah.
I mean business here.
Yeah.
I am the Lord.
Yeah.
And so those are the four primary ways that the Lord kind of downloads information to me. Yeah.
Yep. I love at the beginning of that, you said that what you were about to describe and everything you just described is specific to you. And I think it's important that people do understand that I think the Lord relates to us very uniquely. And I think there there's a lot of overlap in some sense, because I've experienced pretty much everything. I'm not much of a feeler, I would say, but the other three for sure.
Yeah.
But I think what's so beautiful about relationship with the Lord is that he allows things to be developed uniquely between you and him, and between me and him.
Yes.
And he might speak to you in a way that he doesn't speak to me, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because he knows how to speak to me. He knows what I'm like. He knows what you're like.
Yes.
He knows how you function. He knows what will make sense to you, you know.
Kind of what I'm going to catch on to versus what you're going to catch on to.
Yeah.
He's a dad that really knows us really
he
well.
He really knows his kids very well.
Yeah.
He knows what we need. He knows how we function, how we think. I went through a season, and this was so funny to me. I went through a season. I don't have like a lot of words of knowledge, but I went through this short season where I was having them like crazy.
Oh, really?
And it was so funny to the point that like I didn't really know what to do with it. I'll just share one story.
Okay.
Years ago, I used to work at Ruth Chris Steakhouse out at Hamilton Place, and I did valet parking there for years. And so I get to just talk to a lot of people, drive a lot of crazy fancy cars. And one day, and you know, it wasn't always that busy, and so if I wasn't actively working, I'd just stand there and just open the door for people, you know, greet people as they come in and, you know, as they go out. And one day I opened the door for this guy, and I'd never seen him before. And I wore a name tag, had my name on it. And so I opened the door for him, and he looks at my name tag and he goes, "Oh, thank you, Brian." And over my right shoulder, I hear, "You're welcome, Marcus." And it was almost audible. And it was as clear as anything I've ever heard. And it freaked me out, because I'd not really had an experience like that. And it wasn't like, I wasn't really thinking about what this guy's name might be. I wasn't even asking the Lord a question. I probably wasn't even thinking about the Lord in that moment. But I hear over my right shoulder, "You're welcome, Marcus." And in a split second, I think, boy, that was weird. And then he walks up to the hostess there to check in, and he says, "Hey, I've got a reservation for Marcus." And I literally walked out of the building. I thought, I don't even know what to do with what just happened. I walked out. I thought, maybe I had a word for that guy, but I'm so weirded out right now.
I've had so many of those moments that it's like, what in the world just happened?
Yeah.
To where you just kind of have to sit and like detach from everything, because it's so wild and so supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I've audibly heard the voice of God. So that is the most wild concept for me. I actually pray for it, because if it's available, why not have it?
Sure.
But a lot of those, especially when we are desiring new things and new giftings, that's going to be a lot of the process that takes place, is kind of what you described.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that moment where like, whoa, what was that? That really weirded me out.
Yeah.
I've got to go and figure out what just happened, you know, and any logical kind of processing is not going to make any sense. So then you're just left to sum it up to, that was God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll start wrapping this up. I realize this time goes by a lot faster than you think it's going to.
I know, because I told you I was concerned that Noah's such a talker that I was not going to be able to outdo him. And then here we are 53 minutes in, and I'm like, oh, okay.
But I think, you know, what maybe one of the most beautiful things about the gift of prophecy is that what it does is it creates an opportunity for people who maybe aren't yet, and let me say this, that it's not just exclusively for people who don't, you know, even as somebody who hears the voice of God and listens, I still enjoy a good prophetic word. So, you know, it's not just for people who don't, you know, it's for everybody. It's for building up the body.
Yes.
But especially, I think, for people who are not yet actively engaging with the voice and the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. What the prophetic does is it creates opportunities for people to start becoming more aware of who they really are, as opposed to who they've been.
Yes. It reveals identity.
Absolutely.
And authority. Right?
Yep. I, you know, just thinking about my own journey into beloved identity and discovering who am I really, like in actual reality, from the eyes and the perspective of the God who created everything. Who am I really? And prophetic ministry is such an important piece to that.
Yeah.
Because again, apart from hearing the voice of God, we run the risk of never discovering truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and, you know, and specifically when we are learning to hear the voice of God, we aren't accurately hearing what he has to say about us at first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, usually.
Sure.
Just because the things are usually so great and so grand and so beautiful that we have a hard time receiving those things.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you have a stranger or somebody that maybe not know your situation can walk up to you and just speak complete truth, identity,
mm-hmm.
From the heart of God, it kind of makes somebody wake up. It also speaks life into them, right? Because
yeah.
our words have the power of life and death.
Yep.
And so when you partner with the kingdom of heaven, you're partnering with the most grand thing in the cosmos. You're partnering with the life of heaven.
Yeah. Right.
And how wild is it that we get to partner with that and do that? Why would you not want to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, I think we need to land this plane.
Okay, sounds good.
But this has been so fun talking to you. I love hearing your process. I love, because, you know, anybody can prophesy, but I think few people are called to be actual prophets. And so it's fun getting to hang out with somebody, because we're both prophetic, but you also have a level of authority in that realm that I'm just not graced to have.
Yeah.
And so it's fun hearing that, you know, hearing all the stuff from you. What it's like, how you think about it, how you perceive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a absolute blast being on here. I'm so glad that you asked me to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again. For our listeners who are in our community groups at Be Love Co., why don't you spend some time this week, and similar to what I had you do last week, find some time this week to intentionally be quiet and to be still and to remove yourself from distractions and spend some time with the Lord. And I want you to just ask him this question. Say, Father, how do you see me? How do you see me? And that's it. And then I want you to just sit, and I want you to just wait and listen. And I do highly encourage you, if you're not used to this already, practice writing down the conversations that you hear that you're having with the Lord. Practice writing them down, because I think that's a really important key to, especially if you're newly developing hearing God's voice as a lifestyle. I think if this is something new to you, especially, get used to writing down and recording your conversations. That way, like Noah said last week, if you've got spiritual authority or a spiritual mother or father in your life, you can bring that to them and say, hey, this is what I think the Father's saying. What do you think about that? And also, I think it communicates honor to the Lord when we record our conversations, because I think it places a level of value on that. Do you have any last thoughts, Crystal?
No, I think you've covered everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.